This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very violent edition of the BCP. Super excited for this one. For someone, let's be real, he's been a huge icon on the independent scenes all over the Northeast for a very long time. A long list of just notable opponents. He's had gold over the shoulder, over both shoulders, around the waist, everywhere he's gone. He's an icon on the scene, and ahead of his match against Mr. Ray Kalitri, of course, September 25th in Bayville, New Jersey. Tickets are still available at Titan Championship Wrestling Presents Warfare. You know him as the man behind the mask of fan favorite violence. Please welcome in Mr. Josh Adams. Josh, thanks for making the time, bro. How are you, man?
Rocking my sweet MLJ shirt. You know, you got to make sure you get a shot of that.
I saw that.
Chicken wings and microphones.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's awesome. Represent. I love that you're supporting everybody in the scene. That's good, man. How are you, man? Staying healthy through all this crazy 2021 we're living in?
Yeah, I do what I can, you know. Yeah. I mean, we're certainly out and about often enough, but I do what I can.
Yeah, you're working everywhere, man. Let's get the shameless promo out of the way right now. Obviously, we mentioned that match with Ray Kalitri. And thank you again, man, for just always being very accommodating with us. We got to talk to violence, which was very super fun. Never forget for sure. And I know you got some eyes on that Ray Kalitri interview we did not too long ago. He had some words
hanging out in a sweet cabana in Mexico, you know.
The ambiance, yeah. But yeah. But he had some words for Josh Adams saying, oh, he doesn't know who he is. Sometimes he wears a mask, sometimes he doesn't. And Ray Kalitri right now saying he was bumped to the back of the line. And, you know, whoever's in front of him is going to pay for it. That right now is you. Your response to Mr. Kalitri moving forward into this match?
Well, you know, he's going to say, oh, he wants to wear a mask sometimes, then he doesn't. Ray, you wish you could do what I do and have two hot gimmicks, totally different, diverse, work for different people. Ray, you're lucky you even have this match with me. But unfortunately, you're leaving comfort zone wrestling now. You're not wrestling your boys. This ain't your friends from New York. I'm not your friend. I don't care what you want to do. You know, you aren't getting bumped to the back of the line facing me. Trust me, it's a promotion, because now you're not just wrestling another guy that's been wrestling for 2 years that's had a whopping 16 matches. You get a real test. Whether a belt's on the line in this match or not, it's a real test, and it's a bump up the card for you, fella.
Oh, boy. This is Haas already, guys. Again, tickets are available right now. Josh, I want to ask you this one. I do want to talk about violence, man, because I love seeing the personas that really connect with the fans, man. And if anyone has that or understands that, it's you. You always go the extra mile for the fans. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I do want to get to know Josh Adams a little bit better. Tell us about the difference between Josh Adams, the man behind the mask, and violence, who we've seen many, many times here in the Northeast.
We're asking from a standpoint of what I do in that ring and everything.
Yeah, I would say maybe moveset and personality. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, violence is a little more crazy and outgoing with the fans. Josh Adams is all business. Whether the people like me or not, I have a job to do out there, and I will perform to the best of my abilities. Josh Adams is a hard-nosed wrestler, a technical wrestler, but it's – what's the word I'm looking for? It's I don't like technical wrestlers where they just like dance around a guy who's not even attempting to stop what he's doing. And he's just switching from little candy ass move to move. And it's not practical. That's what I'm looking for. If the guy who was doing it to just went, it's all done. His whole little bullshit chain sequence is done. What I do, you don't have to let me do it. I will grab you and do it. It's more practical. It's more based around, you know, I'm a huge MMA fan. I have been for a long time. Jiu-jitsu. I wrestled when I was younger. I have trophies from the 1990s. Before most of these dudes in the locker room were even born, I was wrestling on mats winning trophies. So I bring that to the table as Josh Adams, and I have for a long time. You know, Josh Adams is going to do a lot of technique violence. We're going to get nuts. We're going to work that crowd. you know, we're going to do what we got to do.
Yeah. Josh Adams, I think experience obviously comes into play there. And we did have some fan questions coming in. Someone wanted to ask about, I believe it was called the flat crab maneuver.
Yeah.
Is that a submission, I believe?
Yeah. That was taught to me by Drew Gulak when I was training under him at the CZW school. He was my trainer each week from about, I'd say, late 2013 till when he went to the WWE and he was in the Cruiserweight Classic and kind of never looked back, you know. It's like the Boston Crab, but I'm laying across kind of your lower back and kind of all, your ass holding the lower part of your body down. Your legs are getting bent apart and back at the same time.
Vicious.
Yeah, it hurts and you don't see anyone doing it. It is not, literally no one else does it on our scene. And it's very well known that it's my thing. It's been my thing for years. So by all means, if somebody wants to do it, they can, but everyone's going to know where they saw it first.
Wow, man. My back hurts when I'm walking up the stairs. But I'll tell you this, man, and let's get this out of the way. I was talking to you off air about this one. I know you keep it very real, man. I'm excited for this, man. I told you when I do BCP, I'm not wearing any company hat, man. Journalist, you know, this is how it all started for me. And, you know, you and I obviously knowing each other from Titan, working together when I started coming up, man. We were in an environment where everyone was, you know, working together and all that. And as these things often do, as I've learned in the business, is we've seen a lot of lines in the sands between certain companies, promotions, whatever you want to see it, which isn't uncommon in the world of wrestling, isn't uncommon in the world of local music, as I've learned. You've managed to kind of navigate those lines. We'll put it that way, man. It's been such a tricky climate. I told you off air, I can look at it from both sides. I can look at it from, hey, we're independent contractors. You know, I want everyone to get work. I don't like it when companies run the same day because I feel like you're you know, hurting talent's paychecks. I don't like when people have to drive real fast to other places. I worry about safety, all that other stuff. I can look at it, though, also, if I'm running a promotion, I may not want someone here and I have, you know, the right to book who I do and don't want. You obviously were able to navigate this. And again, you can no comment on this one, but your thoughts on this climate in the world of wrestling, are you used to it by now? Is this another day at the office?
Yeah. You know, I started in this game in 2007 and I've never gotten out. And I mean, I can't tell every phase of my career, you're at a place where they don't like some other place.
Yeah.
When I first got in the business and I was a trainee at Force One and it was a very old school place, even though a lot of them guys were ECW originals, don't go to CZW. Don't get involved with that, you know?
Wow.
It's always something. Somebody's always not going to want you to do something else, and that's all good and well. It's just none of these guys, you know, this isn't the territory days where, you know, you're paying a guy enough money that he pays for his house, he feeds his children, and you can say, hey, man, you know, since I'm taking care of your entire, you know, livelihood financially, you know, can you not do this? I don't really think any promoter pays anyone around here enough money to dictate all that much. What it really comes down to, though, man, is I stay out of all that drama. Everyone makes their memes. They share things. They run their mouth about, you know, whatever side of the fence they're on this month or this year. And people remember that. Me, even if I have an opinion on it, man, I stay out of it. You see what I do with social media. It's pictures of my son and it's me promoting my events and interacting with the fans. And that's it. And I think the fact that I've been in this so long, you know, I'm not like some of these guys where they're just glorified. You know, they're the guys, the ring crew that get opportunities to work shows. They don't have that many places to go. People know that they're not training somewhere credible consistently. So they're lucky to have whatever spot they have. They don't have other places to go. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it's just maturity too, man. That's the thing. I said, I'm not being immature online and saying this and this and that. And you know what I mean? I can work with these different guys, even though they don't get along, I can get along with them as an adult and as an employee for whatever the task need be.
Very, very well said. That was a very good answer, man. I like that you covered all the base on that. And I appreciate you answering that one, man. It's a very weird climate for me to kind of grow up in for wrestling. Cause I loved when everyone worked together, man. And, you know, for certain, and I can look at it from both sides, man. You know, I don't want my guys working somewhere or something, whatever, you know, I want to represent, you know, myself in a certain way. Like I can look at it from both sides. At the end of the day though, I also pay attention to who has the longest lines at intermission. And I would say that Violence certainly always has one of the longest lines of intermission, always has the top fan attraction, man. And that's not just a moniker, because as a journalist, I've watched you for a long time, my friend. And I'll say this, man, violence is more over than my first marriage. I'll tell you that, man. And you are absolutely killing it. The first time I saw you, before I was even in the business, I'm like, who is this guy? I hear the chains. You know, as I'm coming up, man, I see you, you know, jumping on pickup trucks. You have fans dressed like you, signs everywhere, man. I mean, I got to ask you this, like, what about, and I think I know the answer, but what about violence do you think connects with the fans? Because I think there's a lot of really good wrestlers. They just don't know how to connect or have the heat from the fans. Like, what got you right there?
I mean, well, the thing is, for 11 years, I wrestled as Josh Adams. And while I'm a great wrestler, I'm a good hand. I'm not an attraction. I'm just a guy in boots and trunks who's showing technique. And that only goes so far, especially when your crowds are a lot of kids and families. You know, it's not just a bunch of like 30-year-olds that are smart, you know.
Yeah.
So it's been a hard lesson, though, to go from all them years not really ever having a line of intermission. You know, yeah, I'd sell some autographs, some pictures, but pretty much the norm of what you see from the other guys these days. This character, you know, it's not just the outfit, because some promoters, you know, they'd be like, oh, you just threw a mask on and look what happened. Like, nah, motherfucker, it was more than that. I wear myself out with what I do before I even get in the ring with how I interact with fans. You know, I've met some little kids lately where their parents brought them up to be, and the kids acting kind of scared. I'll literally lay on the ground as violence. I'll say, look, I'm laying on the floor. I'm like, can I do from here? I'm not being scared. You know, I'm just always in character. Always going the extra mile. The thing with violence and a lot of masked wrestlers you see, the fans will see them hanging around where he's just wearing his regular ass fucking clothes, but he's got his mask on or something. You know, I don't compromise the presentation of the character. You get the whole package or you get none of it. You know what I mean?
Beautiful.
The entire outfit, even me being fucking drenched, whether it actually calls for it or not, it's all part of that look. That presentation, you know, if I didn't have my chain, I don't know, I might have to cancel a booking if I lost my chain. Didn't have, you know what I mean? It's, you get all of it at all times or you don't get it at all. And even if they know what I look like without that mask on, when I put it on, I give them so much that they can lose themselves in it. They can suspend disbelief, just like when we see Spider-Man and Batman and all these superheroes and Deadpool, whatever, you know, we know what they look like and how they sound without their mask, without their outfit. But they do such a good job when it comes crunch time that we can get lost in that aura, that persona.
Very, very beautifully said, man. I like that you respect the persona, man, and you go the extra mile. I always pay attention to the details and things like that. So props to you on that one, man. And I'll say this, when I got the opportunity to interview Violence, man, I spoke to you beforehand. You know, now we're talking to Josh Adams. And I forget how you explained it, to pull back the curtain a little bit and again, give away as much as you want. But I think you explained it when the mask is on, there's something different. I mean, obviously there's something different about the persona, but the intensity, I don't know how you explained it. Yeah, but
you know, nobody gets more fired up and warmed up in a locker room than me. I do more than everyone combined. I mean, I literally do an entire fucking almost gym calisthenic workout. And I just get myself really hyped. Batista's theme music plays in my head the entire time I'm in the back before I walk through the curtain. Even though it's not my entrance music, I think it's just the right thing to be stuck in your head. And yeah, man, when that mask goes on, man, I need that time to really transform myself into that. It's not just like, oh, I'm dressed really quick. Okay, let me get through the curtain. I have to get dressed early. I have to exist in that.
I've seen you do rounds before the show starts, just doing rounds like
all of it, man. Yeah. You know, I got the resistance bands, the push-ups, the squats. I mean, there's some freaking dudes in the locker room that don't work out that much in a month. I do that just before I go have a match. And it's not the only match I'm gonna have that weekend or that week, you know. It's just it's commitment, man. It's just I have to get fired up. I have to go out there really warmed up. I'm not walking out there cold.
Very well said, man. This is a great interview, man. I'm very interested because last time I talked to Violence, I just got screamed at a lot. So this is a great conversation, man. I'll say this, not to be cliche, man, but I'm very curious about the genesis of the Violence persona, man. How did you come about? You said 11 years as Josh Adams, then Violence came about?
Yeah. So, you know, I was obviously more than a regular at CZW Dojo Wars during that program's run. And we're getting to a point where, you know, we'd been there for a while. There was a lot of new young guys, the booking committee, a lot of things had changed. I'd been there for a while. Since I wasn't a student there from the start, I'm never a guy that's going to ever actually win their Medal of Valor, their belt, whatever. That's reserved for, you know, homegrown students. You know what I mean? While I'm going to get victories to make sure I matter, I'm there to make the students look good. I'm there to challenge them and in the end, put them over. And at the point where it was like, okay, we got a good angle going here. I've got my tag team partner, Tim Taylor. We're just two good technical guys. And we're feuding with a faction that was, let's just say it was Dojo Wars Wyatt family, just to make a simple analogy.
Okay.
So I came up, I said, you know, kind of want to try something different. I never have really tried anything super different. And I said, let me do this mask character. My friend's got this mask. I brought it around. I said, is this clearly someone's mask already? No one said, yes. Yeah, so this is clearly this guy. No one could say that.
Yeah.
I said, let me try this thing out. So we had a match where if I lose, I'm gone from Dojo Wars. They abduct me. I'm gone. I literally didn't come around for 6 weeks. And then suddenly I come back and I'm with that faction and I'm with the mask, the outfit. The outfit's evolved heavily since I started. I look at pictures of me from like 2018, 2019. I'm like, how the fuck did anybody think this was cool? I mean, I've spent a lot of money, time and money, not just I've gotten bigger, but just I've really invested in the outfit. But my initial thoughts were I would really just be enhancement talent as this mask guy, not necessarily a jobber, but just enhancement talent, you know, and then it just fucking took off, man. And then It was like anywhere else I was, people just loved this so much. And it was like, oh, now I'm the silent guy in the background of this faction, but I'm the most over person in it. I'm not even the leader of the faction. I was like, it just took off. Like one of the first shows within mere weeks of me doing the character, I yanked a chair out from under a kid who was booing me in the crowd.
Oh no.
It was perfect timing the way he just like, I could tell he was going to be fine and his family, they all loved it. But that was viral on Reddit for like days following.
Oh, really?
So that's where the moniker viral villain came from, because literally that went viral right away. It was on like the front page of their subreddits and whatnot for days. And it just, yeah, man, it's just everywhere I went, people are fucking nuts for it. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even do anything yet. And y'all are like really into this. You know, I'm not in the ring doing 450s or any, I'm not going through thumbtacks, light tubes, and people dig it.
Yeah, very well said. I forget. I want to say it was like Jake or something. Someone said, I forget the exact quote, but the persona is so important. Sometimes that's the most important thing is getting that persona. You certainly have that, sir, because I know people that say, hey, I'm simply going to this show because Josh is there. I'm simply going to the show because Violence is going to be there, man. That's huge. I mean, guys, if you're a promoter right now listening to what I just said, I mean, come on. There it is. You want butts and seats.
You know, like I said, I'm willing to admit I've learned a hard lesson, man. I was a good hand to have, but I wasn't an attraction. I didn't have people lining up to come see me, but it's very apparent now. And you go to the shows, you see the people lined up outside. They've got merch that they bought from me in the past. They've got signs made for me. They got whatever it is, you know. This is a thing, you know. I'm not bullshitting, making it up. And I feel like a promoter or other people, if you're around it and you can't see it, it's either poor observational skills or you just have a problem with me. I don't know, but I'm going to do business with you. You know I mean? Especially the kids. And who would think that a guy named Violence who looks scary and whatnot, the fucking kids and little girls and shit would love it. I didn't think that. I thought I was going to be the biggest heel everywhere I went. I'm the baby face, but it does business. That's what we're here to do. It's, you know, it's the wrestling business. I'm going to put asses in the seats. They're going to buy stuff. They're going to come back wearing that stuff. That means we're making new customers. We're, you know, we're growing the business.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's it. I mean,
and we see on social media, man, you're a great dad, man. I see all like the stuff you get for your kid. Do you feel that has kind of changed your philosophy as an entertainer? being able to relate to these kids and families, the daddy daughter dates, the families that go to see you, man. Do you feel that that's changed you a little bit?
Absolutely. I think I still would do good with this character if I didn't have a kid, but I think it's a big factor. I understand how to get on their level, how to engage with them. If they are seeming nervous or scared, how to work around that. You know what I mean? It's definitely been a factor. And I understand what it's like. You see the magic in their eyes when they're watching something that really grabs them. So I know what the demographic is. I know what I'm going for. I know what to give them and what to not do.
Yeah, I can see that you look at this also. You look at it from that standpoint, but a lot of your answers, you look at it from a business standpoint as well, because you've been doing it for so long, man. And even more so. Go ahead, please.
I've made more money this year from wrestling than ever. I mean, literally, 11 years of being Josh Adams, I didn't even make more money than I've made just this year. Every time I get a batch of shirts made, it's like the first good, you know, show or two afterwards, they're fucking gone. And then we got it. You know, I've gone through like 5 different designs this year. You got them big head on a sticks I always sell.
Yes, those are great.
I just ordered more of them. I have one left right now. You know, I got another batch of them on the way. And that's probably the 5th or 6th time I've reordered them things.
It's amazing, man.
It's cool as shit. But the thing is, that thing, like, I give it back to these people. You know, I really do. More of my focus is what I'm going to do outside of the ring. It's not a bunch of fucking moves we're going to do. It's how much are we going to engage these people before we even get out there. That's why I love to be dressed before the people even make it inside. I can interact with them while they're in line, get them hyped up while they're inside. We can interact. We can do some, you know, merch sales, whatever it is. But by the time you come through that curtain, they've made a connection with you, whether they already knew you, they just made a further connection, or if they've never seen you now, they're like, oh, that guy's cool. I can't wait to see him come out later.
Very well said. Something else I noticed about you, man, first couple times I saw you, you were out for the lines. You were out before the show. You were engaging fans and people were happy to see you and they were excited to see your match, like you just said, man. So guys, again, take notes here. This guy's been doing it for a long time, very successfully, might I add. I'll add this to the equation. Obviously, you show humility and personality when you're meeting the fans. You show that business sense, but also you are now a trainer training that next generation of independent stars. Who knows? Maybe the next stars of the future. What is that like for you, man? Because I see some of these kids wanting to train at a young age already. Some people have just been wanting to do this forever. Maybe they've been managers. Now they want to get in the ring, man. Like, what's that like for you to train these people?
It's cool. I've trained a lot of different places on and off over the years. I was first kind of helping assistant train back in like 2010 at Force One Pro. They had some beef with some people, like we know in wrestling.
Shocking, yeah.
And there was a show we did in June of 2010. And before the show started, the guy they had beef with that owned the ring came and took the ring and had it.
No!
Had the ring taken away. You know who I wrestled that day on that show? We did get another ring. Someone else brought us a ring. I wrestled Adam Cole.
Baby, that's amazing. First of all, wait.
And tapped him out with the ankle lock.
Wait. Without a ring, or how did this play out?
No, they took the initial ring, but then luckily we got another guy brought us a replacement ring.
I understand.
The ring they took was our ring that we used at the school as well. So I was actually teaching guys that many years ago, 10, 11 years ago, you know, just on mats, because they knew, hey, I can fucking wrestle. We're still a lot of work we can do, even though we're not doing flippy-do shit. There's work that can be done. I was teaching guys at the ECWA Academy in 2017. You know, I helped teach guys at LTW and GTS and whatever it may be. I was teaching guys up in Jackson back in like 2015 and 2014, like guys like Lance Scaper was one of my students all them years ago, you know, and some of them guys. So it's not something new. It's just, I've always taken a lot of pride in it, man. I'm a super detail oriented trainer. You know, I want these guys to be absolutely fundamentally sound without question. You know, they're wrestlers. They can get in a ring and get a crash pad and someone else can teach them to do horse shit. But I'm going to make sure that you can fucking wrestle and you know what I mean? And I'm not just grab a half-ass headlock for 3 seconds before you shoot the guy off and you start doing pass-bys and bullshit, but they can wrestle and confidently grapple off their back, whatever it is, you know. It's just, I really drill that with them.
Wow, man, you do so much, man. It's super interesting. And did I hear you say that you tapped out Adam Cole? Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to – that motherfucker has surpassed me by 8 million miles.
No, I'm just saying, AEW's coming to town. Let's run it back.
It's in the record books. I did tap him out with an ankle lock submission in June of 2010. But, yeah, I mean, once again, I don't hold a candle to Adam Cole's success, but – I mean, there's a lot of guys that I watch on national TV these days that have been the flag bearers of the industry for the last, you know, half a decade, whether it's NXT, Ring of Honor, Impact, AEW, it doesn't matter. These are all guys and girls that I worked with, whether it was 2 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever it may be.
Yeah, absolutely, man. What a resume. I was looking at some of the names. Who's someone that you want to work on both the national level and the indie level that you haven't had the chance to work yet?
It's hard to say. You know, there's a lot of guys that I had great matches with before I was ever Violence that I want to not just have a match, but maybe have a program with them as Violence. Honestly, like Kid Osborne. Yeah. I don't know if you know Kid Osborne.
Sure, and sure.
We worked our asses off and had some really tough, great matches in 2016 for months and months. And he's just one of them guys where, man, we don't have to say shit before we go out there. We know we get it, man. We feed off each other. Same as a guy like Frankie Picard, man. We just Frankie. Know what's good. And it's like I want to really have matches as Violence against them.
That's a great.
A lot of people from my past that it's like I want to do because it's a whole different experience now.
Yeah,
it's not the same matches we had before, you know.
That's a fantastic answer. I love that. And Frankie, actually the first wrestler to ever appear on the BCP. So shout out to Frankie. We love Frankie. I'll ask you this, man. I know it's been wrestling, but I always pay attention to the other stuff. I want to know Josh a little bit more, man. I see you playing that bass all the time. Lots of tones, lots of sound effects. Tell us about the music a little bit, my man.
I was actually going to potentially sit here with the bass.
Yes.
But I knew you were asking me to play something and it's not plugged in anything. So it would probably sound like shit just being played acoustically. I've been playing bass for 21 years, man. Oh, wow. I was in an instrumental progressive rock metal sort of band, like a Dream Theater type band.
Sure.
From 2004 to like 2011. The keyboardist from that band, we made a new project. It's still instrumental music. The album's done recording. Now we're kind of like,
oh, wow.
The bigger headache is like, okay, now the marketing side. How do we make what we just recorded relevant when we want to release it to the public? So that, you know, coming up with the imagery, potential music videos, that's where we're at now. But the music's been recorded. It's cool shit. It's cool shit. It really is.
Congrats, man. I came up in the music business, and you know, that's cool to hear that you do that. We have a lot of local bands on the show, so you can come on up here when everything's ready, man. Yeah. And that's cool to see that you're doing stuff.
One of the songs from the new record, I think I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna make a slight like edited version of it just so it kind of gets right to the point quicker, and it's gonna probably be my new entrance music. I'm definitely gonna use it to come out to when I fight on pay-per-view for Celebrity Boxing November 6th. That's a fact.
I forgot about that. Yeah, tell us about Celebrity Boxing, how you got involved with that. I had forgotten about that. Good for you, man. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I just kind of kept throwing feelers out there to the owner of the company, like, hey, man, I see you're booking pro wrestlers. Like, trust me, like, you know, give me a shot, man. You won't regret it. And, you know, I fought on the first fight on pay-per-view for the Lamar Odom Aaron Carter card back in June. And, you know, I'm going to say this with all due respect. A lot of indie wrestling shows we do, they're live on pay-per-view. They're on Fight or they're on whatever it may be. It's common. This, man, fighting on that pay-per-view, the production level. This was pay-per-view that we grew up watching that you really see on TV. Like, this was a multi-million dollar fucking thing to be a part of. You know, it was the coolest shit I've ever done. In all my years of doing, honestly, like, I can't wait to do it again. And to get to do it with as you know, except for when the fight's actually happening and that headgear and mouthpiece is in, I got my mask and my chain and the vest. You know, I'm getting to push the gimmick to build the brand. You know, it's fucking awesome. I mean, it's super, super fucking cool. November 6th, man, we're going to rock and roll. Trust me.
That's all good for you, man. I'm glad we got to talk about that. That's amazing, man. It's very cool.
I want violence to transcend pro wrestling. That's the thing.
The way I
portray the character, I don't, you know, I've showed up. I've been at horror conventions. I'll show up to whatever different.
Brilliant.
Thing. Brilliant. Yeah, but I just, you know, I could see this thing, them making comic books of it. Or you've seen when these fans have made these custom, you know, action figures and stuff of the character. It lends to all of those things so well, man. And it's just like, I like it. I believe that I can transcend a pro wrestling event. I can do events and get around the general public and do things. And it doesn't just have to be, there's a wrestling ring here and there's other wrestlers, you know.
Dude, very well said. You have a very good mind for not just the wrestling business, but for, like you said, transcending the character of violence, man. And again, not to be cliche here, but gotta ask this one. We have seen a lot of opportunity during this pandemic era for the wrestling business. I'm so happy to see our friends that we've had on the show over the past couple of years get signed to NXT, even get that signed to AEW or get that AEW dark spot. They've had their eyes on the Northeast. They are coming to the Northeast next week and the following week. I'm just saying, run back that Adam Cole, Josh Adams match. But what is the goal moving forward? You've been doing it for a long time. We've heard all the answers. Get signed here, whatever comes along. I've heard go to Japan. I've heard I just want to open a school. I've heard I just want to stay on the indies. Josh Adams, what are the goals for you moving forward in the wrestling industry?
You know, like I said, man, I've done this for 14 consistent years. I'm 36 years old. I'll be 37 in December. The goal is not like, oh, every moment I'm thinking I got to make it WWE. I got to make it to AEW. Like, I wrestle as much as my schedule and life can already almost allow right now. And I'm not going to leave my son and be on the road wherever the hell, you know, more days of the year than not. I'm not interested in that. Opening a school though. Yes. That's always been my thing, to have a school here near Atlantic City. That, you know, where I can still do what I love and make some money and stay close to my son, because as much as I love this wrestling, I'm sorry, but he's going to be the top priority. So, you know, there'd have to be some serious money and opportunity calling for me to not see him every week of my life, you know.
And I love that answer. I love that.
If WWE's best offer is, we'll bring you in and give you some shitty name and fuck your gimmick, and you know you're a fucking schmo on NXT, and you're gonna make not even as much money as I almost make now in my life. Like, I don't care, man. I already get the rest. I've already done way more than I ever thought I would, man. The amount of shows I've done with guys I grew up watching, like, this shit already rocks where it's at. You know what I mean? That's the thing. I get the most out of these shows I do, and with the fans, like, we get it in, man. We have our fun, and I don't feel that I have to be in the WWE or bust. I really don't, you know. For the guys that are lucky to come up in the game now and they're not even 21 years old, yeah, man, more power to you. If you don't have kids, you're that young, fucking go for it. But me, I'm very content with what I'm doing. It doesn't mean that I'm complacent to where I'm not putting my all into it. I am, you know, I'm good.
Yeah, dude. I love any answer that's, hey, family first, then everything else, man. That is the right answer. Very, very well said. And I hope you do get to open a school or get that opportunity one day. And I hope everything works out for you, man. Surely you've been killing it on the indies, man. I do want to be respectful of your time. I appreciate your business savvy. So I ask you this one, and you've been sprinkling this one throughout the interview. But what advice, and you can give as much or as little as you want, what advice would you give to some of these up-and-comers that are either trying to get heat or trying to get over to get to that next level and make a connection with the fans? Because you, sir, have certainly mastered that.
You got to be different. And I'm not saying everybody has to be a dude with a mask and a chain, but you got to be different. Too many of the guys on the roster, they're not working on their physiques. And they let the fans see them too often, just mingling, just hanging around in their regular clothes, And I'm not saying everybody needs to wear like a three-piece suit or whatever it is either, but you're letting them see you just being too fucking regular, you know, like you're peeling the curtain back too much for them. If you guys all just look like fans or ring crew, like you want them to always see you as an attraction and as something special at all times. Even if you are ring crew for the show, if you know you're on the show later, you get that ring up and then you get that fucking outfit off and you get your game face on, because when doors open and people come in, you want them to see you a certain way at all times. You know, just like, people got to hit the gym more too, man. You know what I mean? We all know this, though, you know, being tan, being muscular, whatever it is, like you got to do it. And there's too many guys wearing cutoff t-shirts in the ring. Like, dude, people know you're not in shape. This cutoff t-shirt's not, we know that you're not now, but now you're just making yourself look even less professional, because dude, like how many big name pro wrestlers in the history of the game were a dude with a cutoff t-shirt and some fucking baggy pleather shorts or whatever the fuck? That list is so goddamn small, it's really not worth bringing up an argument. Most guys were in shape in trunks or pants, you know, with no shirt covering up. Like, look at Roman Reigns now. It's about goddamn time they took that shirt. But he's in fucking shape. Show it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, though? Yeah, it's like you got to accentuate them things, man. And it's just but even if they're not in shape, as long as they start taking more seriously the way they present themselves to the fans at all times. The fans don't want to see you and your boys that you rode here with mingling in your street clothes in the corner of the room. Like, they don't know. Like, don't let them see that. Don't ever let them see that you're being regular when it's showtime, you know?
Wow, man. That very, very brilliant answer. I'm a details guy. So everything you're just kind of saying, I'm kind of just taking notes as well. Like, literally, I have notes over here, man. Very well said, dude. This was a great interview, man. I knew it would be, man, because you keep it very real. Before we get out of here, though, we're all about that shameless promo here on the BCP. Tell everyone where they can get the merch, where they can follow you on socials, book you, all that good stuff, man.
Well, before we get to that, I just want to, I got a message for Ray, because I didn't really address
this. Oh, I'm here for it, please.
Yeah, here's the thing, Ray. You need to be there at Titan. You need that place. You and AJ Pan need that place. I don't fucking need that place, Ray. I'll put my mask on and go anywhere else I want. I'm not there to be your friend and do your cool moves. You are going to wrestle your ass off against me, and we're going to see what you got. And if AJ Pan gets on the fucking apron, I'll snap your arm, bro. I don't care, because I'm not here to be everybody's friend there. You know, I don't need it. I don't need it. I'm there to do business, and I'm there to win that match. I know I've been very pleasant this whole interview, but when it comes crunch time, you're going to see this face is usually covered up. You're going to see a mean, intense face, and it doesn't break, Ray. It's not going to be an easy day at the office. It's not. It's not. We are going to wrestle our asses off. And if you are going to beat me, you're going to goddamn earn it.
Wow.
Here's where they can find me. You know, it's Twitter at Viral Violence. You can search Josh Adams and Violence on Facebook or on Google. You'll come up with my cagematch.net, my very extensive wrestling career. I don't understand Ray Kalitri. I looked him up. It's like one page. It's like fucking 20 matches.
Wow.
There's some Ray Kalitri who wrestled like 14 years ago that had two matches, and then there's a big gap. So Ray, address this for us. Are you the same guy, or have you actually only wrestled this little? I don't know, Ray.
Wow.
Trust me, it's gonna be the biggest challenge you've had in that ring.
Wow. Wow, man. I am glad that I am on the other side of the commentary table for this one. I'm excited to be calling this one, but I will stay behind whatever happens, man. But Josh, obviously calling it like it is, keeping it real, man. I very much appreciate you making the time, keeping it real. And I look forward to calling your match safe out there and continue success moving forward, my man.
Stay safe. Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Boy.
Hey, we don't handle business.
He is, no doubt in my mind. We will see what happens, guys. Again, September 25th in Bayville, New Jersey. Not this Saturday, but coming up in several Saturdays, Josh Adams versus the shining star Ray Kalitri, Titan Championship Wrestling, Warfare. Get your tickets now. And guys, Josh, thank you again. Like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, except in the ring, apparently. Stay positive and take care of each other. We out. Peace.
All right, brother.